Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, January 2nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And what we are reading today, we are in the doctor's opinion on page XXVI, the third paragraph down. Though we work out our solution on the spiritual, and it ends with, on the next page, let me see, accepting what we have to offer. Comments on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Tanya P., the 12 Traditions, Mary P. The readers of the text are Diane B., Shelley E., and Penny L. C. The share ID for Monday, January 1st, the 10 a.m. meeting is 20,991. That's 20991. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, January 2nd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,994. Our newcomer greeter is Carla C., and the announcements person is Robin P. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Tanya P. And now I'll ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Mary P., and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 6, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every group, OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I pass.
And thank you, Mary P., for reading the 12 traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XXVI in the doctor's opinion, and it's the third paragraph down, though we work out our solution on the spiritual through one paragraph ending with accepting what we have to offer, and the comments will be on that paragraph only. And today I will ask Diane B. to get us started. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone on the line. Happy New Year. Though we work out our solution on the spiritual as well as an altruistic claim, we favor hospitalization for the alcoholic who is very jittery or befogged. More often than not, it is imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he is approached, as he has then a better chance of understanding and accepting what we have to offer. So I'm Diane B., gratefully recovered in New York. And, you know, this whole chapter, doctor's opinion, is so amazing because it really, really explains the disease to me, but also what to do with it, like how to approach and how to proceed to get to a point of not of being, you know, not being eating compulsively and having this neutrality around food. So it talks about having a spiritual and an altruistic plane. And the spiritual plane is really steps 10 through 10 and 11. However, all the steps get us to having that spiritual awakening, and some people have a spiritual experience. That's the purpose of this book, is to have that spiritual experience. And then the altruistic plane is that we then pass it on, step 12, without any reward, like not reward, but any payment, without any payment for it. So I'm doing the service, and I am sponsoring and doing service and going to meetings, etc., because I'm able to pass it on to the next person. It's sort of like that movie we saw, Paying It Forward. You know, like that's how it works. Somebody gave it to me, and my debt to them is to give it to somebody else. It also says that it's imperative that a man's brand be... Imperative means mandatory. It's absolutely a necessity, because there's no way that I can think of that we can, that I could have gotten what this book was telling me and to follow the directions in the book and to follow my directions of my sponsor if I was still in the food. It's like being drunk or high on alcohol or drugs. It doesn't work. You can't think clearly. And I certainly couldn't think clearly. And I also, I couldn't think clearly, I couldn't even, my emotions were all over the map. So, you know, there was no way that I could have done this without being abstinent first. So that, you know, it's imperative. It is mandatory that we do this. excuse me. And then the other thing I was thinking of, he has a better chance of understanding and accepting what we have to offer. So I had a conversation with someone yesterday, and I was saying that, you know, I understood in my head, I understood that this was a disease. I got that. That was like, okay, once I finally read this and I understood that this was a disease, I did not accept it for myself. I still was playing around. I've been in the rooms basically since 1986. And my latest abstinence is a little over 4 years. It took me all those years to really accept this, that this is part of me, that I have this thing also, that it's not just something I can read about. It's not just something I can dabble in. And I did that for many years. And I was still negotiating with specific foods and food ingredients. You know, but until I really accepted that I have this disease and that this disease is going to kill me if I continue on the path that I was on, I really couldn't be clear on the solution. And, you know, the word, thank you. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Diane, for getting us started. And I will remind everybody where we are. We are on page XXVI in the doctor's opinion, the third paragraph down. So we work out our solution on the spiritual, and it ends with accepting what we have to offer. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Sherry H.M.
Got you, Sherry.
Veronica B.
Veronica, what was your last initial?
B.
B, got you, Veronica. Was someone else in there?
Sherry
S. I got you, Sherry H.M. and Veronica B.
Justine J.
Justine J.
Yes.
Okay, got you.
Luann from Boise.
Did I hear the Luann?
Yes.
Luann. There's some more people in there.
Sherry F.
Sherry F, is that an F or S?
F is in Frank.
Okay, thanks, Sherry.
Deborah G.
Deborah G, all right, we'll stop there. Veronica B, Justin J, Justine J, Luann C, Sherry F, and Deborah G. Please, everyone, mute except Sherry H.M. Press star 1 to unmute and star 1 to remute. Good morning, Sherry. There's people still unmuted. I can't hear you, Sherry. If we can't, we're going to move on to the next person.
This is Sherry. I'm sorry, the phone kicked me off. I had to call back in.
Oh gosh! All right, we're glad you made it. It's your turn.
Oh, yeah. I am up. Okay. Yeah, this is a really great paragraph, like most of them and all of them are, talking about, you know, the spiritual and the altruistic plane. I can't do it. I had to reach for my higher power, who I call God, who did it for me, because I was at the end of my rope. There, I tried so many different things, and, you know, the diet police at WW, and, you know, all these different programs and whatnot, and it just didn't work, because it is also a problem of my mind. It is a problem of the craving, problem of the allergy of the body, and the obsession of the mind. What I find real interesting here, besides the spiritual and altruistic service, you know, that we're doing, it says we favor hospitalization. And on page 157, it talks about 2 days later. And so the big book, that's what they did in the big book. They did it 2 days later, not a week later, not 2 weeks. You know, they just toughed it out and did it for 2 days. And I've heard of different people, you know, who say they should have their sponsees, you know, be out of it for a week or something. But anyway, this is just my experience, and it really does work. I ran into a picture of myself several years ago, and it doesn't even look like me. So thank you so much for your service, and have a great new year.
And where are you from, Sherry? Okay, she hung up. Veronica B., let us know where you're from. You're up next, followed by Justine J.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater from California. And thank you for your service. I had to chime in, and it's been a while since I shared. And I am so grateful for this program and this paragraph, the doctor's opinion, and this talking about, you know, we get recovered on a spiritual solution. And for me, when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, for me, step one was, like, I had to admit that I was powerless. I had to admit that on my own, I could not stay out of the food. I could not stop binge eating and purging. And I was so desperate when I was new that I was willing. I was willing to do it your way. I was willing to listen. I was willing to have an open mind. And that's what it took for me, first of all, to come into OA and to ask for help. You know, this doctor's opinion tells me all about the allergy of the body. Okay, I understand that. I understand that something happens to me when I eat certain foods. Okay, tell me what to do. Like, that was my attitude when I came into Overeaters Anonymous. Just show me what to do. Tell me what to do. And this way I have an open mind. And for me, the spiritual solution is, like, I have to, first of all, be honest. I have to be honest with somebody else that I could not do this on my own, and that I needed help, that I needed help. You know, that is what step one for me. Because when I approach you in that state of eagerness and desperation, like, I'm willing to do anything, and that was step one for me, asking for help and being honest. I had to be honest with another human being, and this altruistic movement just, you know, means that helping others, you know. So that's where the sponsor comes in. A sponsor is willing to help me. That's, you know, for them to stay abstinent, that's why they're helping me. You know, they're doing it because it fills their spirit, you know, because it's part of this transformation that takes place from working these steps. So for me, it really started with I had to be honest with another human being. That keeps me with an open mind and open to, like, doing it another way, because my way leads me to the food. My way leads me to selfish, dishonest, self-seeking motives. So this is just an absolute beautiful program. And I am available sponsor. And I just had to chime in because, you know, I've just been feeling squirrely. I'm not right now. I'm totally open to sponsor. Haven't had a sponsee in a while. So please, Veronica from California, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Veronica B. from California. Justine J., followed by Lou Ann C. Good morning, Justine.
Hi, my name is Justine J. I'm from Columbia, Tennessee, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm fairly new. I've been coming on these calls for a few weeks now, but I haven't shared. And I love that part in the big book because I've heard people share struck abstinence. And that's what happened to me a few weeks ago before Christmas, before the holidays. I was so spiritually bankrupt. I put down the food. And I knew someone who was in this program, came to this group specifically, how powerful this group was, and told me, well, this is your next step, you know, like get a sponsor and do this work. So I've been doing it. And I just finished step one last night. I did as fast as I could, and I've got two small children, and it's not easy to get the work done and listen to the podcast and take notes with my two babies, but I'm going to do it because I'm desperate. And I was finishing my step one, and I was supposed to write my examples of, you know, the allergy and the obsession. And it's funny how my mind was trying to trick me. This is what my mind does. It tells me I'm different. It tells me, oh, I wasn't that bad. I didn't eat the whole thing of cookies, only half, and then half the next day. I had so many funny rationalizations, but as I was writing, it's so important to write because it's like I don't remember any of my eating until I start putting it on paper, and then I'm like, what did I do? I had a serving of cereal. I poured another serving of cereal. Then I got half the cookie box. Like, I'm definitely a compulsive eater, but if I'm not writing it down, I'm not seeing it. It's so weird. Anyway, thank you for letting me share. I love listening to everybody share, and I'm so grateful that I'm in the step work and getting a solution because it's so cunning. Thank you.
Thank you, Justine J. from Tennessee. Up next is Luann C., followed by Sherry F. Good morning, Luann.
Hi, Mo. Thank you, everyone. Happy New Year. The thing that's standing out to me is this idea of hospitalization that has become really important to me. You know, about 10 months ago when I was brought to my knees, I got an intercession that was, you know, just a powerful recognition. I have this thing and it's killing me, and I've got one hope, and that was to reach out to God and to follow directions. So I was able to put down the food for about 4 days in my case until I could get a sponsor. But I had to protect this miracle that was happening in my life. And so I had to put everything else in the second position. I was in another program. I had sponsees. I had to put all of that, my family plans, vacation, everything had to go into second place so that I could work the steps and get recovered. So for that time, this was everything. And that really solidified this, you know, this miracle so that I could keep working it. And I'm just so grateful that that was suggested to me. It was never before until I got to this vision way. And I'm very grateful for it. And that really worked for me. And so anyway, I'm just very grateful. Hope everybody has a great day. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Luann C. Up next is Sherry F., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Sherry.
Hi, this is Sherry F. from Idaho. I'm new to the group. Thank you for your service on this. I think what stands out when it says, you know, it explains many things for which we cannot account or otherwise account. Recently I've just really noticed that the allergic foods and the excess food, just it completely changes my mindset completely. that changes my view of myself, of my marriage, of everything. And I was talking to a friend last night about how, I guess it's just, it doesn't make sense to me that 2 weeks ago I could just be feeling so fantastic and just really clear-headed and really connected to my higher power and to have that slip away. And it takes work. I can see that. It takes effort for me. Otherwise, it just slips so easily out of my hands, it feels like. And my brain doesn't make sense what happens to my thoughts. And I don't know, this program has brought me massive peace of mind. And I know that's with my higher power. Just real quick, I made an amend over the holidays to a friend of a friend, if that makes sense. I don't know, it was kind of a distant friend is what I mean. And the closer friend is the one who just thanked me over and over again for contacting his girlfriend. He said, "Wow, that just made such a difference." And I didn't know she would tell him. Maybe that doesn't make sense, but he was just so grateful, and it actually strengthened my relationship with this other friend. Anyways, this is an amazing program. The amend process is continually just astounding to me. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry F. From Idaho. Up next is Deborah G. But before I take Deborah, let me let you know where we're at. We're on page XXVI, the doctor's opinion, the third paragraph down, though we work out our solution on the spiritual through one paragraph ending with accepting what we have to offer. And after Deborah G., I will take more names. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning and happy new year to everyone. Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you all for your service. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here this new year. Awesome. And I remember the insanity that I felt and thought in my mind. Because I was still playing around with an alcoholic food. I was going through a step workshop that was for a year, and I was still doing this alcoholic food and the insanity I was feeling. And finally, I woke up and saw it. And I was like, oh, I don't want to live like this. I can't do this anymore. It takes a lot of energy to do it too. And I put that food down. I got myself an OA Vision sponsor, and she took me through the steps quickly. Now, in my first step experience, like was shared, I had to really focus on honesty. One of my assignments was writing on honesty. So I could see the truth. I could see reality because I was asleep, unconscious about that. And when I did that, that's where that spiritual part came in. I got free from that insanity, and I was able to go through the rest of the steps. And another thing was all that time of not being abstinent, I was abstinent as we were going through the steps quickly like that because of that first step experience, really getting honest. It's so important. And, you know, and now that's what I do with others. You know, the same experience. I take them through the steps the same way I was taken through. And that same first step experience the way I was taken through. And what a lovely gift. I am just so grateful to be able to do that with others today so they no longer have to suffer. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Deborah G. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share?
Marie R. New York.
Marie R.
Who was that? Julie G.
Gotcha, Julie. Julie G. Marie R. Julie G. Anyone else?
Tanisha from North Carolina. Tanisha C.
Thank you, Tanisha. North Carolina. So I have Marie R., Julie G., Tanisha C. We got time for maybe one or two more. If not, we'll go with those three, and maybe people will think about it and share next. So we have Marie R., Julie G., and Tanisha C. Everybody mute except Marie R. Good morning, Marie, and tell us where you're from.
Good morning. I'm Marie R. from New York. Yes, the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind, you know, something I've reread and reread and reread and just pretty much went over my head many times. I picked up about couple of days before Christmas, I relapsed, you know, but the food for me was kind of the last thing that happened. You know, it was the obsession of the mind started in, and it was just something that of life, I couldn't live on life's terms at that moment with a situation. And I did a 10 step, and then I called somebody, and then I thought, well, this isn't working, you know, because I didn't get it. I didn't get the relief that I was looking for. You know, it didn't poof go away. And, you know, that's a lot of my distorted thinking with this program. I seem to think once I do the steps, you know, that everything's going to be, I'll be free of problems and free of feelings and free of fear, you know, but that's part of my distorted thinking. And, you know, once that happened, you know, the mind thing, you know, then the food started to go. You know, it started slowly with grabbing some caffeine, which I had stopped, then a diet soda. And before you know it, I was eating my Christmas cookies at 1 o'clock in the morning on my balcony and then throwing them off the balcony because I couldn't stop. You know, but yeah, every relapse, I get a little bit closer to understanding because every relapse, it progresses and there's more pain. And there's more understanding and there's more willingness. And, you know, I still feel like I'm not sure what I'm doing. I just all day long just say, God, how would you have me be? Because my MO is just to think about how I can feel better all day long. And that's not working. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much, Marie R. Coming back. Julie G. followed by Tanisha C. Julie, let us know where you're calling from.
Hey, everyone. This is Julie G. I am recovering in Pennsylvania. And I'm just so grateful to be here this morning. I'm grateful for all of the shares. I'm fairly new. I just completed my third step on Friday and have had the experience yesterday and today of just the power of these meetings and gathering in this way with fellows who understand me and understand illness that we share. And I'm so grateful to be in the doctor's opinion. When I came back to Vision at the end of October, we were in a Vision for You, and now we're in the doctor's opinion, and it's just so powerful for me. And so yesterday, the discussion of, or people sharing on the allergy of the body and the cunning and baffling nature, you know, of the disease, really struck me because I have been in this hospitalization phase as I'm working the steps. I've been abstinent for 70 days, but I started to doubt, you know, the quality, if you will, of my abstinence and or how I'm managing my hospitalization over the holidays, if I'm being truly honest about swaps and changes, you know, to my committed food. And what I experienced then is self-doubt or a belief that because I am doing things perhaps imperfectly, not glaringly breaking my abstinence, but not perfect, then I start to just feel bad. And I know that my higher power, God, is not judging me. I'm just judging myself. It's one of my things, you know. So I feel in these recent meetings like God is communicating to me and trying to help me. And so what I'm just going to do for today is give my food over to God, give this day over to His care, and recognize that that's all I need to do. I mean, I need to take my actions, make outreach calls, begin my fourth step work, and but to trust and to, you know, to change the pattern of judging myself and expecting myself to be perfect is a hard habit to break. But I see now that, thank you, it leads me into self-doubt, which is my disease. So grateful for all of you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Julie G. from Pennsylvania. And before I take Tanisha C., I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XXVI in the doctor's opinion. At that third paragraph down at the bottom of the page, though we work out our solution on the spiritual and ends on the top of the next page, accepting what we have to offer. And after Tanisha, I can take more names. Good morning, Tanisha.
Good morning. This is Tanisha C. from North Carolina. I first want to thank everyone for their service. And, you know, y'all are my family. It's been a minute since I've been on the meeting, but I'm so glad to be back. I wanted to take a moment to claim my seat. And it's been hard these past few months, dealing with a lot with family loss and everything and surgery. So I'm just grateful to be here and addressing the allergies and to my higher power. And one thing that was mentioned to me going into the new year was, and remember, fear is a reaction and courage is a decision. And that's why I'm at, trying to work through this fear. So I just appreciate you all being here and let me take the time to claim my seat. And I wish you all well. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you, Tanisha C. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And we have a good amount of time left, about 10 minutes or so. So who would like to share?
On this Carol paragraph? F.
Virginia N.
Is that Carol? Carol F. And then I heard Jan Virginia.
L. Mary L.
Yes.
And I heard Jan. And who was after Jan?
Mary Ellen T.
Mary Ellen C. I think we might stop there. I don't know. Carol F. Virginia. I'm sorry, Virginia, I didn't get your last initial. I'll catch it. Jan L. and Mary Ellen C. Let's stop there. Okay, Carol F., tell us where you're from.
Hi, this is Carol F. I'm in Oregon, compulsive overeater in recovery. I just wanted to address a little bit more specifically the issue of hospitalization, because that was a concept that really I did not get when I first came into this program. For me, that was a word that I couldn't really relate to about my compulsive overeating. But I came to learn what that meant for me was a period in which this not only took high priority, but I was willing to let go of a lot of other things that I thought were important to me in order to do this, the steps, and really focus on recovery. And it was that was really helpful to me to realize that. There's a saying I've heard that says, if you're too busy to work the program, you're too busy. And I had to realize that I needed to set this first and to let some other things go in order to really focus on the steps and on the shift in my mental and physical being in order to get recovery. And that's, I didn't really get that in my program before I got to Bishop. So I just wanted to kind of clarify that for anyone who might be new, and that it's not forever, but it is forever that we need to focus on recovery, but it's not forever that we need to give up some socialization maybe, or a relationship maybe, or whatever it is that is in the way of us doing recovery. So I just wanted to share that, and my gratitude for this program and everyone in it who supports me in my recovery. I just want to say real quickly, too, that I just went through a month of incredible emotional turmoil, lots of weird stuff going on in my life that I had no control over, and I didn't overeat. And as I came out the other end of this thing, I realized, oh, my God, I got through this abstinently, and I'm so grateful and feel so blessed to have this program in my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol F. from Oregon. Up next is Virginia. Give me your last initial and where you're from, Virginia.
Sure. This is Virginia N. from Virginia, actually. And I just want to thank everyone for their honesty. I am so glad I got the reminder this morning that food is never the answer and that it usually is the last thing that goes. And also the reminder of not getting too busy. I'm very grateful to have some good abstinence under my belt now, and I have to remember the only way I keep that is to work my program and to help others. And I know when I was into my alcoholic foods, my mind was so fogged that I couldn't have heard anything. And I also needed a sponsor to help me understand the big book, because I'll tell you, it was like Greek to me. I did not get how that big book related to my eating. I would have never been able to do it on my own. So I'm really grateful that the way this program works is that I have a sponsor. And to this day, I check with her every day. We talk once a week. And it's really helpful to have people that are in program in my life. And I need them all the time. So, and I hope I'm helpful to others. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Virginia N. from Virginia. Dan L., followed by Mary Ellen C. Jan, let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Jan L. from Florida. I also would like to thank everyone who has shared so honestly about struggles with relapse or just starting out, honestly, about where they're at in their program. And my recent recovery things that have happened did involve a relapse, so I'm racing through the steps, but taking my time with each one now, going through the book again. So grateful it wasn't, I was able to get rigorously honest when I did. That was the key. What led up for me to the problem was my control, thinking that my BLTs when I was prepping food was no big deal because they were non-alcoholic foods, just minimizing it. Just not checking out any my food, food decisions with people. I mean, I have to check everything out around the food. I was recovered. I had made it through all 12 steps. I was sponsoring to the best of my ability, doing my 10 steps. But just my control mode moved in. I didn't want to feel. I wasn't looking for what God wanted in me enough, and not sharing about the small food changes that were starting to happen, thinking I could handle it. So grateful that I was able to get rigorously honest when I did. About the hospitalization period, I've listened to some amazing podcasts on that, and I'm finding that there are easy ways for me to incorporate this into the life I live. I mean, for example, I have people at my house now, and I'm able to go do what I got to do when I need it, and not worry about whether I'm out there being social and being a good host. This is the priority, finding this truth, finding my soul, searching for the truth in my heart, searching for God, and this spiritual awakening comes before everything and everyone, including my spouse, including anybody who's around me, taking my food with me. So I'm just so grateful. Thank you all for your heartfelt shares and blessings to everyone.
Thank you, Jan L. Mary Ellen C. is up next, and I only have 2 minutes for you, Mary Ellen. I'm sorry.
No problem. Happy New Year, everybody. My name is Mary Ellen. T is in Tango, and I live in Oregon, and I'm so grateful to be able to be a part of this meeting, and I really love the past chairs. I wanted to talk about the hospitalization period because, you know, that's required for us to be able to take the program with the seriousness that's required. And I also wanted to talk about the needing to put the food down. It's hard. It's hard to put that food down and not have anything to turn to. And so, you know, the beautiful thing is that I can take down phone numbers of recovered fellows at the end of the meeting and listen, listening for those phone numbers and write them down, and I can reach out and make phone calls multiple times during the day. I need to practice, you know, this program more than just in the morning the meeting. I need to do it in the middle of the afternoon. I need to do it later in the day. I have to treat this disease that I have with a lot of spiritual and, you know, humility and listening to the words that you all share, listening to these special editions. We can go onto the website, the Vision for You website, and we can put in the search bar and listen to special editions about the doctor's opinion to be able to help us get through these days where we need to be abstinent before our sponsor wants us to start working the program. So those have been some of the tools that have been really helpful for me. But I've also seen that it is imperative to treat this like the hospitalization, you know, avoid vacations, avoid going out to eat, have some phone numbers that you can call before you go into the grocery store and do your grocery shopping. And for good Lord's sake, don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry. You know, treat yourself with the kindness and respect that you deserve, because this disease is serious. It is cunning and baffling. And I still struggle with how cunning and baffling my disease is, or I have to take this seriously. Thanks so much, you guys. Bless you all.
Hey, thank you very much for keeping it to 2 minutes, Mary Ellen. And with that, we'll close our meeting. Thank you all for your shares. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And we'll Shelley E. read A Vision for You.
Absolutely. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater.
Texas, the big book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service. My pleasure.